Welcome to Creating Flow, the podcast where I, Joni Francisco, hope to empower women, helpers, and healers to unblock their energy and unlock their power. We are tackling that tough reality that many in the healing professions often sacrifice their well-being in the pursuit of helping others. Not only do I think this is just plain wrong, it ends up draining your vitality and diminishing your ability to serve. I've experienced this firsthand and have emerged with insights and strategies to help break this cycle. That's why each week we explore practical methods not only to replenish your energy, but also cultivate abundance in your life. You'll gain actionable steps to fill your cup first, ensuring you can overflow with energy and serve others without burning out. Have you ever felt like no matter how much work you do or how hard you push, you still are stuck in the same patterns? You have this amount of fear coming up for you, overthinking, self-doubt. Well, what if I told you it's not your fault, but your ego is running the show? Like many things I talk about on the show, some of these things are a hard pill to swallow at first. So I always encourage you to put on that love bubble, look at yourself from the observer, and there's really no need for judgment, right? Ever, but especially when we're trying to grow, because that judgment is also the ego and can keep us small. Today, we're going to go on a little journey from ego to flow. This is where we're going to bridge that gap between the ego's limitations, how it keeps us small, and that infinite wisdom of your higher self. So if you feel stuck, overwhelmed, frustrated, or disconnected from flow in your business, your health, your relationships, or your personal growth, this episode is for you. Today, we're going to uncover four ego archetypes that help keep us trapped and how shifting into that higher self or spirit self can unlock that ease, abundance, and alignment that you're looking for. But first, I want to invite you into the Abundance and Flow community on School. That's School with a K, where you'll find free, awesome AF trainings and where we are building a community of other helpers ready to have more abundance and flow in their lives. Let's journey together towards freedom in life, health, and business. The link to join is in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. Do you have the desire to serve from a place of overflow rather than exhaustion? Do you have a desire to be in a place where you feel like you're being pulled, not pushed? Do you have a desire to be moving through your business, your relationships from this place of ease, abundance, and connection? But something keeps pulling you back into fear, into doubt, into that overgiving, that overpushing, that trying really hard. And as I alluded to before, what if this isn't your fault, but just old ego patterns keeping you in survival mode? The ego is divided up into four archetypes for the sake of our discussion today. And I'm going to take you into a little story to start here first. And this happens to many clients, but I have this client and she just kept serving her clients, showing up over and over, and she was living her purpose, she was pretty sure, but she just kept feeling drained. Well, she had the development of this critical parent when she was young within her ego system that believed she had to work hard to deserve success. When anything wasn't happening the way she saw it as her perfect, then she felt like she just had to work harder, do more. How you change this is by sinking into being like, who's the voice in my head, right? Well, that's her critical parent coming out to tell her that she's not doing it enough and she needs to do more. And in turn, when she could learn to recognize this voice, right? The moment she recognized that this pattern kept coming up, she was able to sit back and surrender more to that intuition, that spirit self, that higher self. And then she was able to attract clients that respected her time and her energy. And she didn't have to feel this need to overgive for that fulfillment anymore. So you could take a second here and just think about, where are some places in your life that the ego is running the show? And I'll give you a hint. Anytime in your life that you're seeing resistance, where you're not in flow, where you're in struggle, those are all signs that you're in the ego state. I'm going to go into this a little bit further down here where I'll break that up for you, that ego versus higher self. But first, we're going to go into the four archetypes of this ego. And what I really, if you only get one thing from this whole episode, which you're going to get many gems, but the one most important thing is that we cannot diss on the ego. We cannot dislike the ego. We cannot wish the ego away, right? It's there to keep us safe. It is innately brought into us to keep us safe. Now, you want to learn how to spend more time in that higher self and that spirit self, surely, but we do not want to resist the ego. We want to understand the ego because its primary job is just to keep us safe. Safe to the ego is definitely not the same as safe to that higher self, safe to that spirit self that we have, right? The ego really wants us to uphold those values, those ideas, those limiting beliefs that we've developed from when we were a kid to wherever point you are in life now, reinforcing that over and over and over. And it does not like, it fears change. It does not want change. It wants you to stay the same. And same feels like safe. So if we can just remember that the ego is there to keep us safe, and I'll have an exercise at the end that you can link into to help you with that as well. But it will help you notice and observe from a place of love and the desire to change, right? And not from something that you've been doing wrong all of this time. So these four archetypes, right? We got the mature adult, we got the critical parent, we got the adolescent, we got the inner child. And again, they all work together to keep you safe in some way or another. And really looking at keeping that the inner child safe. So the inner child, she likes to have fun. She's got big feelings, but she does seek that external validation. And she doesn't quite understand trust or boundaries yet. She's just that, or he, the one that feels the emotions for you. And then we have the adolescent that comes in. And that adolescent, that's the rebel in us. That's the one that resists that structure. That's where if we're avoiding commitment or consistency, we're in our adolescent. This might look like if you're in business, you or an entrepreneur, that you're always mixing up your business. You're always switching your idea. You're never sticking with one thing long enough to see results. Anybody have that? You can raise your hand or nod in agreement. A lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business people have a lot of great ideas, but they don't follow through. And the critical parent, that's the perfectionist, judgmental, rigid. This is really what leads us to burnout because we feel like in order to earn money, in order to have value, in order to have more clients, in order to have better health, we have to do more, do more, do more, do more, and find the perfect thing, find the perfect solution. And this also looks like that piece of the procrastination where you're always busy, but you're never really getting the things done that you need to get done to actually make the change. So like getting ready to get ready. And then we have the mature adult. And the mature adult is a, if we're going to be spending time in ego, right, it is a progression. It is a place of more level-headedness. It is a place that where we are responsible, where we can use our logic. But also, this person, this mature adult within us, often overthinks. And this person doesn't trust flow. So while if we are in an ego state, the mature adult seems to be the place we'd want to be. It is still coming from an ego standpoint. And so we have this opportunity, this invitation to move into the higher self out of even that mature adult. So what does this look like in our life, right? So if we come back to the inner child, and I'll kind of go through some characteristics, what it looks like in business, what it looks like in our relationships, and where that looks like for our personal self-care. So if we journey back to that inner child, the emotional one, the inner child is also intuitive, right? They haven't necessarily learned to not trust their innate feelings yet. It happens pretty quick, but when we're little, we're more free and haven't been jaded by the confirmation as much yet, but it happens pretty quickly. The inner child's also playful, however, seeks that validation externally and is sensitive, right? So, which is good. It's good that we can feel things and express how we feel. But if we lead from that place, then it may be difficult to get much done if we're always in this place where other people are making us feel something and we're not able to express that in a way that is productive. So in business or in your job or in your personal life, this really still, if you are in that as an adult in the inner child, it's going to still look like those inner child qualities seeking outside of approval. How many of us do that? I'll just put my hand high up. And as I work through this into being more in my higher self or my spirit self, this more place where I am in tune with that energy of myself and the energy of the higher power, I still flow between all of these things as life comes at me. And I seek to stay more in that higher self, but there are still times where you go back and forth and back and forth. The inner child avoids risk and they struggle with self-trust because they're looking for the outside for validation. And in relationship, this might look like you fear that you're going to be left alone. You fear that abandonment. People pleasing will start to come in, and like an inner child bouncing all over the place, you can picture them off one person, off another person. You really struggle with boundaries because your boundaries at this point are you're looking outside externally for people's reactions to see how you feel. And so they're really not your boundaries yet, but just changing in response to how other people are reacting. These people you might see, and when we're in our inner child, it may look like being emotionally reactive. Again, that's looking for external validation, waiting to have a reaction based on how you feel other people perceived you. And they will seek comfort, like a small child, right? Seek that comfort over working, doing the work, the internal healing. And as an inner child, if you're allowed to have a candy jar versus a jar of carrots, you're going to be choosing that comfort, but also neglecting what it is you truly need in your health and wellness. And if we go up to that adolescent, right, they're fun, but they also are rebellious. They resist authority. They avoid commitment. And they really, above all, are just seeking freedom. And their flippantness is really to protect their inner child, protect the emotional part of them. They don't want people to be able to see that part, the emotional part, the struggle part. And in business or jobs, this will come out as characteristics as struggling with structure, starts but doesn't finish projects, avoids taking responsibility or discipline for things that they created. And in relationship, this looks like pushing against the boundaries, right? So there are boundaries set perhaps by the other person or societal norms, however that looks. And this adolescent will be pushing against the adolescent ego part, will be pushing against those boundaries, right? They crave freedom and independence, but they aren't looking for leadership because they already know it all, right? I'm sure you all were teenagers once or have raised teenagers, and you've seen that for sure. In self-care, in our health and wellness, this really looks like avoiding routines, being inconsistent with the self-care. You know what to do, but you're still not doing it, and prone to that impulsive behavior. So you have a goal in mind in your health. You want to have more energy. And you know that actually when you get up and move from your desk that you've been sitting out for hours, you feel more energy. But you may be more apt to change your computer screen to Netflix than to get up and go for a walk. Or you may impulsively just switch over to social media on your phone, right? There's not very much control. And when you're getting pushed hard into a corner, that impulsive behavior will also pop up. So again, if we're looking at health, maybe you're making diet changes and you're eating out and a bunch of your friends are there with you and you know what makes your body feel good, right? But there's something else on the menu that looks totally yummy. And I'm not saying you don't ever have to have it, but a lot of times in that adolescent space, you'll just choose the thing, sometimes just out of spite, right? Because you shouldn't, but also just an impulse. And then it'll be over before you're done and before you even realize it. And we got that critical parent. Raise your hand if you are a high achiever, right? Maybe you're in the gifted and talented program and as a child, or you were praised for being able to figure things out. You most likely will have a very strong critical parent. You have learned value in being perfectionistic. You have learned that your critical parent has learned that to assess and judge the situation, bad, good, right, wrong, hold very high expectation for yourself. Most of the time, these expectations are above and beyond what one person can even do. And the critical parent is very rigid. There's no gray. There's black and white decisions. In work, this really shows up as sometimes a great employee, right? But when you own your own business, you're going to have to look at that a little differently. But pushes really hard, expects a lot from themselves, expects a lot from others. And this critical parent kind of ego space really has a hard time delegating tasks to anyone else because, you know, it's that I could have someone else do it, but then I would just have to do it myself afterwards. Or if I want it done right, I'll do it myself kind of attitude. And as you can imagine, that does also, if we're in that ego space of the critical parent, it'll show up in our relationships kind of the same way. We feel like we need to be in control of all the things that happen and the control of the way things happen, the way the house is taken care of, the way the children are raised, the way the rest time, the go time. And again, shows up as expecting really high standards from the partner and themselves as well. And as this overachieving person, they often are overworking, right? They feel guilty when they're resting. And stress is really high in their life. And as we all know, that high stress, not resting and overworking is what leads us to the burnout. So this critical parent is really the piece of many high achieving helpers and healers that's leading to that frustration, the disgruntledness, the not being satisfied and feeling tired. And the body's starting to have symptoms of the stress, right? Tired, indigestion, and all aches, pains, you know, there's lots of different things that pop out. And then comes the mature adult. And they are there to, again, it's all to keep you safe. But the mature adult gets to be in a more balanced space. They're grounded, they're still logical, they're responsible, and that emotional balance. So they can be upset. But they can realize it's their own and that it's not someone else's sometimes. The mature adult can make strategic decisions, use all the information and make a good decision for all around. However, they still sometimes come in with that overanalyzing. So you can think you're doing all the right things and judging all the pros and cons, but you kind of stay stuck because there's multiple right things and you know as an adult, there's consequences. And when we stay in the mature adult and we're not moving in between these other pieces of ego, again, the ultimate part is going to be getting into that spirit self or that higher self, right? Even above or in a different space, a different energy than the mature adult. But they sometimes seem really stoic and they don't have a lot of emotional connection necessarily because they're keeping in that logical space. They'll communicate clearly in the relationship. However, the being really vulnerable piece is hard for them as well. And the mature adult does start to recognize the body as something that needs rest, that needs balance, and they can see the benefit of giving the body what it needs, but they also have a really high responsibility level. And this isn't the necessarily overachieving. However, they still tend to prioritize work over rest. So again, when we look at these four types, it's just information. We know that the ego is here to keep us safe. It keeps us the same. It keeps us inside that pain story that we're right. We're still wearing those lenses to prove that our experiences and our beliefs are true. So it holds on really tight to our story. And if anybody's done in any healing work, most of us have heard the part about letting go of our stories. It's not invalidating them. It's not invalidating the way we felt. It's just letting go of the story so that we can move into that flow, that joy, that ease that we really crave. So when you think about a place in your life that you would like to be different or change, and you feel like you just keep getting stuck in that same cycle, if you're not driving, I would just even pause this podcast right now. It doesn't take a long time. Just pull up that scenario and look at where you're having those inner child-like characteristics, the adolescent-type characteristics, the critical parent, and the mature adult, and see in your life where that ego is showing up. I'll share a lot about my story through many of these episodes, right? But one thing that's coming out for me right now to share is this, the ego piece of being right. So I have a story that I'm working through always. We're always working through it, I think, that being right is more valuable than being wrong. That also makes it seem like there's only one right. There can't be multiple rights. So that's how that shows up. Only one person can be right at a time, which I've learned is not true, right? There, as much as we like to say truth is fixed, it often is still seen through the lenses. So it's really a perception of truth based on our past knowledge and experiences. And so one thing that really helps me when I start to see when I am defending or proving a point, I'm like, ooh, I'm stepping into that ego. And then is it coming from that like F you energy, or is it coming from doing something wrong energy? And then I can be like, oh, it's totally F you energy, right? Oh, I'm in my adolescent. Yeah, that's why I am still procrastinating starting this, because I was starting to do it because I didn't want to, because I thought the other way was wrong. Not necessarily because I wanted to do it, but because I wanted to make sure the outcome was right. So maybe that'll help you as an example. And really the point here is to understand this so that we can then, when we're having difficulties, we can look at the different parts of ourselves. And again, with love, right? Love with observer energy, just to give us information on how to move through it. The ultimate is to be able to spend more time in your life in that receiving instead of doing, more time in that listening space, more time in the now. And these are all really spirit, like the spirit self, the higher self characteristics. I'm just going to do a little contrast on some really big points here that'll be good to understand. So the ego believes in separation. So the ego believes in that, the either or philosophy of life. There's right or wrong. There's bad or good. I am a mind, or I am a body, or I am a spirit. When we're in our higher self, then that self knows that all is one. There is no separation. We are part of the creator, and creator is part of us. We are part of our community, and our community is part of us. We are part of the earth, and the earth is part of us. Much bigger topic. And I have done a podcast on the law of one. So if you're interested more in how that looks, you can go look up that episode. And the next little value bomb here is that the ego fears the past and fears the future. And that keeps us stuck in it. We keep reliving our past experiences. And I know some of us have great trauma and rightfully is afraid that it would happen to our body again. But staying in the past and staying in that fear is keeping us from living in the now and in the joy. And if we're always focused on the future, what's next, what's next, what's next? Our satisfaction is going to be low because it feels like we're never in it. So the ego fears the past, fears the future, but's fully present in the now is spirit. And I'm sure you've heard me and many people talk about this idea of scarcity versus abundance. And this is another great place to look at when we're in scarcity, when we can see lack, when we can see limitation, we're in our ego space. When we can see infinite power and infinite possibility, infinite solutions, that abundance, we're in our spirit self or our higher self, not in that ego self. One of the biggest lessons for me in studying A Course in Miracles, you guys have heard that I do that as well. And again, that is really a shift in how we perceive the world, how we perceive ourselves, how we perceive source, but it is a mental shift from that ego into that higher self. And one of the lessons is really about how we put meaning on everything. Anything that has meaning, we've put on it. And that's ego. So if we think something's good, we've put that meaning on there. Someone else might think it's bad. Someone might think sleeping in till 10 o'clock on a weekday when you could be working makes you lazy. Another person could think that their best time schedule is they sleep in till 10 and then they work, you know, through a different schedule. And that's their best schedule. And they might think that the other person that gets up early is crazy and going to be tired, right? So where we put meaning on something, we're an ego. That higher self releases that attachment to the meaning. So nothing means anything, really. And if we can get to that place, we will have so much freedom in our brain, right? If we can get to a place where we stop judging and stop putting meaning on everything, where we've released attachments to the meanings, it opens up a whole different kind of freedom for us. And as I said earlier, to that ego, it defends the story and it defends the pain story. It wants to keep saying that I have been hurt. I have been hurt, but I have been hurt, so I react this way. Where being in your higher self, you see that you can't be hurt, first of all. And again, some of these ideas, you know, they take a minute to sink in and they take some studying. But really, when we're in that higher self, it's really that brings on that sense of relief, that sense of peace, that sense of that we cannot really be hurt. You might have heard, I am not this body, which is kind of trippy at first too, but it's really the meaning we put on it too. But in that spirit self, that's where you find the relief. That's where you find the forgiveness. That's where you find the peace. Our egos are illusion-based. They're creating an illusion, right? Everything they see is illusion. When we're in that spirit self, it's all about being in reality-based, which is super confusing because reality is only the things that are real exist. And really, that's only love and source energy. And nothing else exists. When we're in the ego state, we're going to be feeling things like guilt and anxiety and anger. Because we have put, again, it goes back to that we have put meanings on our actions, other people's experiences. And the invitation in the spirit self is to be in that love, the joy, the freedom. Because only now in this minute exists, right? Only now, only this second, only this minute. And it doesn't mean anything. When we're in that ego state, we really have that focus on we're doing the work, my body's doing the work, and I'm in control. This makes things so heavy and this makes things so intense because it's all up to us. We got to do all the things and all of the outcome is on us. Then we get stuck in that stress. We get stuck in procrastination of even doing anything because we're afraid of moving forward in the wrong way. Versus if we can switch over into that spirit self, you get to be that soul self. You get to be your authentic self and you get to surrender the control. This was another really important lesson for me and probably will be for a lot of overachievers out there. Surrendering control sort of felt powerless to me at first. And that was just something within me. And as I learned that, and then I'm able to go back and integrate the other things I know, like I'm still 100% responsible for my actions, right? And I still get to take inspired action. but I am more unattached. I'd like to say completely unattached, but most of the time, more of the time, unattached to the outcome, unattached to the result. I realize when I'm in my spirit self that everything had to happen exactly the way it did, or it would have happened differently. And that it's all for my soul growth, to live towards my purpose and to remember what that unconditional love is. That's the surrender. When you're in flow, when things seem to come with great ease, when you just know the answer after answer after answer, and it doesn't take a push, it's not that you're going to know everything, but I'm sure you've had those times where things just line up. So where do you want to live? You want to live in that struggle, or do you want to live in the place of ease and flow? And the ego will even come in that mature adult and prove that you're doing the right things. Like, I did this, this, and this. I did all the right things. And I have a really great brain for logic and rationalizing and strategizing. And this takes a lot more effort than being able to sit back and listen to my intuition, listen to that inner guidance. And more opportunities will open for you, like they did for me. And the amount of effort for which you need to give decreases. And then the flow increases and your energy increases and you feel more aligned. So the invitation here is, again, to take a few minutes and to think about places where you want to change in your life and think about where ego is running the show. And then think about places that are in more flow, more experiences, and see where, when you are in that more spirit self, less ego self, you're able to move with greater ease. And as I've talked about meditation before, a lot of this can be done walking, sitting, and in many places, even driving once you're used to it. But I am going to take you into a short meditation right now. So if you can stop your car, if you can take a few minutes to close your eyes and get into a place of comfort, then I invite you into that now. And the first thing I'll have you do is just breathe. Then just bring your awareness into your breath. And what does it feel like? Is it hot? Is it cold? Are your breaths deep? Are your breaths shallow? And on your next breath, I'm going to invite you to breathe through your nose and out your mouth. And on your next breath, just deepening both the inhale and the exhale. And with your awareness staying on that breath, inhaling and exhaling, I invite you to bring in an experience where you felt in flow, or a time when you felt unconditional love. Sometimes our ego even fights this. So again, just reassuring yourself that I am safe in this moment. Sometimes thinking about a newborn baby or a little puppy running around brings in that more fun, playful, unconditional love. And on your next inhale and your next exhale, I really want you to think about growing that feeling inside your body. Just allow that feeling that you're having in your heart really expand throughout your whole body, that unconditional love. The invitation is to stay here until you feel completely filled up. And really try to stay in this feeling of love, this feeling of calm, this feeling of peace. As we go through the next few steps to really be able to move through a particular situation in your life. So you can do this in a specific example. So you can bring up a specific example in your life right now. Maybe you're having a fight with your partner. Maybe you need to make a business decision and you've been procrastinating it. Maybe you want more money. Maybe you are frustrated with something your child is doing. So you can bring in a specific experience like that, or I'm giving you another option here. You can think through many at the same time and really determine what's your dominant ego archetype. So sometimes before doing any of this work, we really will, and maybe even after doing some ego shadow work, we have a primary place of ego that we go, whether this be that critical parent telling you what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, do more of this, and or you'll have that resistant rebel kind of adolescent energy about stuff. So anytime something comes up that doesn't suit you or doesn't feel like it's in your favor, you kind of put on that, like, well, screw you energy of the adolescent. I'm just going to leave then, or I'm going to avoid this and go over here, or I'm going to go spray paint a building, right? Instead of sit down to write my blog post. Those are things that often happen. Or the inner child, and this very sad or very starts to retreat when there's some kind of insult, or really where you're be seeking external approval. So when you do a project, you're waiting for your boss to give you feedback on how good of a job you did. You don't know. You don't have an inner knowing of what good is for you or good enough, right? And so we're going to kind of name that, but we're going to love it. It's a part of us, and it's kept us in this perceived state of safety. And this is just for curiosity. So you're just going to start looking, start recognizing. And as you do that, a practice that you can then start to use is the gratitude. And so it goes like, thank you for this reminder. Thank you for trying to keep me safe. Thank you for wanting to keep me the same. But I am choosing to move forward with this other option, recognizing that I am safe if I move forward, and the not safe is the illusion of the ego. Thank you for this reminder. Thank you for trying to keep me safe, sinking back into that spirit self, that unconditional love self, and choosing from that place what the next step is. As you start to learn that that safety, right, being not safe is an illusion of the ego. So this shifting into that higher self, into that spirit self, will feel peaceful. It will feel loving. It will feel more effortless. And so if you're hearing a lot of do not, do more judgment type qualities or fear-based things, you shouldn't do that because you're going to end up broke. You shouldn't do that. Your husband's going to leave you. You shouldn't do that. Your clothes aren't going to fit, right? Those are ego voices in you, versus the spirit will tell gently and lovingly help you say, go for a walk. It will say, the choice doesn't matter, right? Choose the one that brings you love, that brings you joy, that brings you pleasure. Choose the thing that can come with ease, not the thing that's going to cause a lot of struggle. Doesn't mean it's easy. And especially the switch from ego to that spirit self is sometimes challenging, and it takes that constant space, repetition, and reminder, and sometimes even setting an alarm on your phone for the every start of the first of an hour to set in that and sit in that space before moving forward. So I'd like to invite you at this time into my Course in Miracles study group. We're going to study the text, and that's starting on March 1st, but you can join at any time. And this will be a book study. They'll be recorded. So if you can't make it live, however, I'd love for you to make it live, because there's going to be lots of generative discussion over what we read in the book and how we integrate that into our life. And this will all take place in my school community, so that I'll also put that link to that, both the community and the actual book club, in my show notes so that you can easily get there. If you haven't heard of A Course in Miracles, feel free to reach out, message me, let me know if you want some more information, or you can check out the In the Classroom in School. There's a little bit about it there too. But it really is this shift from that ego. It's a mindset body shift out of this ego place and into this intuitive led self, this higher self, the spirit led self. And it's a retraining. I'll bring you back into this piece of what happens if you stay living in ego. This is where you're going to see staying in burnout, staying in the struggle, staying in the scarcity. You're going to feel disconnection. You're going to, especially from intuition and divine guidance and your inner knowingness. And the ego is, while trying to keep us in this perceived safety, it's really sabotaging our opportunities for that ease, that joy, that abundance that most of us know is out there. And we just can't figure out why we can't get it. There's your critical parent coming in. It's really shifting our energy into that higher self, that spirit self, into more of the receiving, and it'll feel like a pull forward or a pull up versus a push. And in my flow method program, this is really where I come in to help people see the places that they're in ego and where they can move out of that subconscious belief into a new belief. So the transformation in moving from ego to spirit self is that you get to see that effortless abundance in your business, in your life, in your finances, right? This doesn't mean it's easy. It just means it comes with ease, not the struggle, not the hard, not the guilt, not the shame. You get to move into this healing state. You get to be in this emotional freedom. Get to move out of those limited beliefs, out of those limiting patterns that you just see every time you feel like you're almost moving through it, then you're crushed back down into the same old behavior, the same old habit. And the transformation is really going from that untrusting to a deep, unshakable trust in yourself, in others, and in this like divineness of the universe, this divine flow of life. So I love helping other people like spark new ideas, maybe start to see something a different way. I also love to help people through these transformational journeys. And I feel like I can get to a lot of people through podcasting. So if you like what you hear, know more will be coming next week. And take the few moments now to go out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's on YouTube or Spotify or Apple. Go out and subscribe so it automatically downloads and reminds you. I so much appreciate you spending this time with me. And I really am cheering you on as you take action in reclaiming your energy. I hope to see you next week in the Creating Flow podcast as we continue to explore this expansion. And as always, much love and light to you. Until next time.
So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow. And I want you to know I appreciate your presence. And to remind you, knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me. A no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.